A new audit finds many Wisconsin school districts missed a deadline to file financial statements. It's Tuesday, October 21st, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, an escalating trade war is making it harder for Wisconsin's sawmills to sell their products overseas. And a bipartisan group of lawmakers is looking to require thousands of Wisconsin first responders to carry EpiPens. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
An independent audit of the Department of Public Instruction found about a quarter of Wisconsin school districts missed the deadline to file financial statements in the 2022-2023 school year. Corrine Hess has more on the audit requested by Republican legislators.
About 20% of independent charter schools and 10% of schools in the Parental Choice Program also missed the statutory deadline for submitting financial paperwork. That's according to the Legislative Audit Bureau's report. The financial reports from schools and school districts are necessary for DPI to calculate state aid payments. The reports ensure school districts are financially viable and are complying with legal requirements. Auditors also found DPI did not begin to review reports for more than 2 months after the December 15th deadline. The Audit Bureau made 22 recommendations to DPI to improve its procedures. State Superintendent Jill Underley says she will begin implementing those recommendations this year. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
An escalating trade war is making it harder for Wisconsin's sawmills to sell their products overseas. Last week, the Trump administration enacted new tariffs on products including lumber, furniture, and cabinetry. Tariffs are a tax paid by companies looking to import goods from foreign countries. But rising U.S. tariffs have triggered new fees by foreign countries. That's according to Larry Krieger of Krieger Lumber in Manitowoc County. He told WPR's Wisconsin Today that those retaliatory tariffs have, quote, basically killed our business in China. He says they've hurt other exports as well.
It's the customers overseas who have tariffs from us that respond by putting tariffs on the hardwood lumber we try to sell them. So our exports are handicapped by the tariffs that other countries put on our product.
The Trump administration has said tariffs will lead to a boom in U.S. manufacturing. Wisconsin parents who recently lost children to severe allergic reaction are urging state lawmakers to pass a bill requiring first responders to carry EpiPens. Rich Kramer reports.
The bill would require all first responders to carry epinephrine pens or sprays and get training on how to detect when a person is experiencing anaphylactic shock. During a public hearing last week, Kristen Mueller of Wisconsin Rapids told lawmakers about the death of her son Andrew in November. She said police got there fast, but they did not have an EpiPen.
As his mom, I can't stop thinking about how things could have been different that night if that first responder would have had epinephrine. If they had what they needed, my son might be here.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services estimates it would cost more than $2.5 million per year to equip more than 17,000 first responders. The bill has no funding attached, but authors say they're open to ideas. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A state board is urging the Wisconsin legislature to pay more than $1 million each to two brothers who were wrongfully convicted of murder. David and Robert Bintz were released last year after DNA evidence overturned their convictions. But after spending more than two decades behind bars, their attorney, Jarrett Adams, says the Bintz brothers have serious health issues and limited savings.
Their life is a house of cards right now, where they don't really know where their resources will continue to come from.
Last week, the Wisconsin Board of Claims agreed to pay the brothers $25,000 each, which is the maximum amount set under state law. The board also recommended an additional payout of $1 million each. The additional payout will need to be approved by state lawmakers. Coming up, a discussion about finding community in prison by sharing a meal. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it can be tough to build community in prison, but some people who are incarcerated find community by sharing a meal. In September, on Milwaukee's East Side, a public event called Cell to Table highlighted the creative foods sometimes created in prisons. It's organized by The Community. That's a nonprofit seeking to correct what its leaders say is a false narrative about people with criminal records. It's a ticketed food experience that shows the meals created on the inside using few tools and few ingredients. Producer Mackenzie Crummy attended the event where formerly incarcerated people showed off their creativity in the kitchen.
The tuna wraps, fantastic. Not the tuna I'm used to in prison.
Food in prison is supposed to be awful.
This is like ahi sushi quality tuna. It's really spicy. It's really delicious.
But what if I told you that it can, at times, be delicious?
I've tasted some of the best stuff I've had in prison. I'm not saying go to prison to taste food. I just, you know, it's, but I've had a lot of really good stuff there, so.
That's Brianna Krieger. She is not talking about the food served inside the prison, which she says is actually disgusting, but the meals she and her friends were able to create in their cells together.
I made everything from, like, jailhouse fried rice, and we would use Pepsi and honey, and it's insane. We'd make fried noodles. We would take ramen noodles and put it in a popcorn bag, put it in the microwave, let it fry up, and I mean, you just get creative.
Brianna and two other formerly incarcerated chefs are preparing a four-course meal for more than 100 paying guests. The chefs are showcasing their creativity and cooking skills they used while incarcerated. Brianna made a dessert for the event called Pop-Tart Pie.
Traditionally, what I would do when I was incarcerated is it would be creamer pudding, Hawaiian punch, Kool-Aid packages, Pop-Tarts, graham crackers, and butter. But tonight, I didn't want people dying of a heart attack eating my food, so we actually made the custard from scratch, and we flavored it really nicely with some real pureed fruit to get that Hawaiian kind of aspect to it.
While in prison, Brianna used ingredients and tools she had on hand, like a small hot pot. She could boil water for noodles, but also get a sous vide type effect by boiling meat in a tortilla bag. Her best memories, though, sharing meals with others.
Hey, you guys can take away our clothes, you guys can take away our names, you guys can take away, you know, our families, you can rip us of our freedom, but this is one thing that we have, and it's this community that we've been able to kind of forge among the debris and the rubble. So cooking brings everyone together. It always has, and it always will, regardless if you're incarcerated or if you're out in the free world.
Some other menu items for Cell to Table are the hookup. That's a burrito stuffed with ramen, beef chili, chicken, and crushed Doritos. A side of pineapple mackerel fried rice. And tuna wraps made by Chef Nathan Bailey. He was just released at the beginning of September and already has a job at a local food cart. In prison, he found cooking gave him a creative outlet and something to focus his time.
When I was in the cell, you know, I was thinking about, like, this is what I wanted to do. It just started tumbling for me, you know what I mean? It started working, so, and I wanted to do this. I wanted to be in the food industry, and so it's clicking. My background, I came from selling drugs, so that was a different level of people pleasing. I just switched my gears around. I just woke up, I'm like, one day, I'm like, I gotta do this. Like, I can't keep wasting my life, so.
Nathan says feeding people and bringing them joy with cooking is therapeutic.
It brought them out of that, like, I'm incarcerated, you know what I mean? Like, this is a good meal. And I've always got really good feedback from it. It's cool to get in a place like that because compliments and stuff like that in a situation like that, they don't really come often. It made me feel, it gave me that sense of like, you know, maybe I should do this.
Mackenzie Crummy, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Sarah Hopeful did sound design on that feature. And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. It'll be clear in the south to start the day and cloudy all across Wisconsin elsewhere. It'll be windy as well, with gusts up near 30 miles per hour at times today. Scattered rain expected across the state with highs in the 40s and 50s. Still windy and a chance for light rain overnight with lows into the 30s and 40s. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.